Thanks for tuning in to our Centerpoint Church podcast. We hope you'll be challenged and inspired as we unpack God's direction and plan for our lives. Let's join into today's message.
Well, hey, good morning, everybody. It is good to be with you today. My name is Scott. I'm one of the pastors here at Centerpoint. If this is your first time ever at Centerpoint, welcome. So glad to have you today. And it is my privilege right now to wrap up this series called Take the Stairs, and I have loved this series. I've really enjoyed going through it each week and just seeing how God's challenged us each and every week of the series, and I really believe that God is going to challenge us again today one more time. Now, I want to begin by telling you something that you probably don't know about me. You probably don't know this unless you happen to come to the Thursday night service. I did share it there, but unless you were there at the night name service, you probably don't know this about me. I am really fascinated by the Arctic Circle in Antarctica, all right? That is not a joke. That's not like, you're like, is this setting you? I'm not setting you up for anything. No, I really am fascinated by Antarctica and the Arctic Circle. I kind of nerd out about it. I love to read books about the exploration of the North and South Pole. In fact, I make my family watch the television show Life Below Zero. I don't know if anybody's heard of this show before. It's about a group of people, or just people living in the Arctic Circle. It's a reality show. And my kids hate the show, but I make them watch it, okay? I force them to because I'm like, it's so fascinating. It's so interesting. In fact, one day you might be like, whatever happened to Pastor Scott? You know, where did he go? And they'll be like, oh, he took his family to the Arctic Circle and they live there now. And, you know, in my house, my family, there are six of us. And there are certain towns in the Arctic Circle, like Chandler, Alaska. This is a town with a population of five people. Okay, five people. If I move my family of six, we will double the size of the town. Like, how cool is that, right? And I could start a church there, and if we start a church, it gets to 10 people, that's a mega church in the Arctic Circle, right? So anyway, one can dream, but I'm in Long Island for now, and happy to be here. A lot warmer, okay, a lot warmer than the Arctic Circle. But when you think of the Arctic Circle, or if you think of Antarctica, what's the one thing that you know you're going to see there? You are going to see icebergs, right? Lots and lots and lots of icebergs. And something that's interesting about an iceberg, now, my guess is a lot of us have never seen an iceberg in person, but I'm going to trust you've seen something like Titanic, you know? So you know what an iceberg looks like, right? If you look at an iceberg in the ocean, you only see the part that comes out of the water. That is only about 10% of the overall iceberg. 90% of that iceberg is under the water. And I was thinking about that this week because we are a lot like icebergs. We're a lot like icebergs, that you really only see 10% of what's going on inside anybody's life, in their heart, in their mind. Like, if you think about the 10% that we show people of what's going on, it's kind of on the outside. It's the most shallow parts of who we are. But there is so much more to us. There is so much more to who we are, 90% of ourselves, that goes on below the surface. And that's what I want to talk about with you today. I want to talk about all the stuff that goes on in our hearts and our souls and our minds and our emotions below the surface. Because I think that's the key to Christian maturity. That's the key to understanding what God has in mind for everything else that is going on inside of you. God's got a beautiful, wonderful vision for your soul and for your inner life. And I want to explore that with you today. Now, we're in this series called Take the Stairs. And today, I want to take the stairs down with you. I want to climb downstairs and go deep inside us, because what you're going to see is, just like in every part of the series, you know, each week in the series, we've said the Christian life is not something that you can grow to Christian maturity quickly. There's no elevator to Christian maturity. It is a long, slow process. It's a hard process. It's a painful process. Doesn't mean it's joyless. It doesn't mean it's joyless at all. There is so much joy in following Jesus. But it's a challenging journey that God calls us to take. And I really believe that today he's challenging you and I to be real, be honest with him and ourselves, and look in our souls. And so to do that today, We're going to look at a passage of Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to focus in today on verse 18, but I'm going to read for you verses 12 through 18, because I think this is such an important message today. If you are at a place where you're like just discouraged in your spiritual journey, if you're like, man, I thought that being a Christian, I thought that following Jesus would have a greater impact in my life, and you're discouraged about that. Or if you feel like, you know, there's just certain bad habits in my life that I haven't been able to overcome or get rid of, or maybe you just want to see more of God in your life. You ever just wanted to see more of God in your life? You ever just wanted, like, God to show up and experience more of the power of God and who God is in your life? You know, maybe you come to church on Sundays, or you go to the worship night every month, United Worship, and you feel God there, but then, you know, you go to work the next day, and you're like, I don't feel God here in the same way. Then if that's you, I really think today's passage and message is going to be for you if you find yourself in any of those situations. So here's what I want to do. I want to dive into this passage, 2 Corinthians 3, and I want to show you what it has to say about how God wants to transform us from the inside out. So in 2 Corinthians 3, it's written by the Apostle Paul, and in verse 12, he writes, "Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold." Now, we're jumping in into the middle of a thought that Paul has been expressing, and he's been expressing it in verses 7 through 11. And so when he says, therefore, he's referencing the things, the words he's just spoken about. And here's what he's just spoken about. He's just been describing the fact that if you are a Christian, you receive so many wonderful promises of God in Christ. And he compares these promises that God has made to us through Jesus to the promises that God made in the Old Testament. And he says that if you're a Christian, you have so much more of the life and joy and glory of God in your life. And so because of that, Paul says, we have such a hope. We are very bold because of the promises of God. And then in verse 13, he writes this interesting thing. He writes, "We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away." Now, that's a pretty confusing verse, right? Like, he's obviously referencing something there. And what he's referencing is something interesting that happened from the life of Moses. If you're familiar with the life of Moses, in Exodus chapter 34, we read about what Paul is referring to here. You see, if you know anything about the life of Moses, maybe you remember Moses and the Ten Commandments, Moses, the parting of the Red Sea, and the Exodus. Well, when Moses was in the desert and he was leading the people of Israel, he would meet with God, whether it was up on Mount Sinai or whether it was in the tent of meeting, and God would deliver the law to Moses. He would tell Moses, here's the instruction for my people, here's what they need to know, here's the law of God, and Moses would take that from the Lord, and he would go and he would tell the people what God's law was for them, what God wanted them to hear. But there was something interesting that happened to Moses during that experience. Moses would leave the presence of God and his face would be glowing. I mean, think about that. The Bible says that his face was radiant from being in the presence of the glory of God. And so Moses came down the mountain and all the people were like, Moses, what is happening? What's going on? Because this was like glow-in-the-dark Moses. That's how I like to think of it. He was glow-in-the-dark Moses. Sometimes here at Center Point, in our kids' church, CP Kids, we do kids' glow parties where we talk about Jesus is the light of the world and we have glow candles, sticks, and all kinds of things. This is the original glow party in the Bible, okay? The original glow party. It's Moses in the presence of God, and his face is radiant. His face lights up. He's seen the glory of God, and he's radiant. But what he would do after he delivers the law to the people, he would cover his face. He would put a veil over his face. And he does this because he didn't want the people to get distracted from what really mattered. But verse 14, Paul tells us what happened to many of the people of Israel at that time. It says, "But their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." What the Bible is saying here is that this is what happens spiritually, even now. that there's a veil that covers the human heart that makes it so that we can't understand who God is, that we can't put our faith in Jesus. But whenever somebody turns to the Lord, whenever somebody turns to Christ, the veil is removed, the veil is taken away, and they can understand who Jesus really is. And then to summarize all that, in verse 17, Paul writes this. He said, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Isn't that a great verse? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Did you know that when God shows up in your life, guess what happens? Freedom shows up. Isn't that incredible? I think sometimes people are kind of afraid of God. They're afraid of coming to God. They're afraid of starting a relationship with God because they think that being with God means just like a lot of rules and a lot of things you can't do. You know, maybe some of you had that thought. You don't need to raise your hand, but I'm sure some of you ever had that thought before you came to Christ. But in fact, the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And what it means is that when the Holy Spirit shows up, when God's Spirit, God Himself shows up, spiritual barriers are broken. Anything that is in the human heart that prevents you from understanding who Jesus is, whatever prevents you from coming to Christ, God takes that away, and you can see who Jesus really is. I want you to think back to the moment you became a Christian, the moment you put your faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Maybe this was your experience. Maybe you were even aware of it, that the Holy Spirit somehow changed something inside of you. And you really understood who Jesus was, not just intellectually. I get Jesus died on the cross for my sins, but no, you believed it with all your heart. You put your faith in Him, you trusted in Him. That is the freedom that comes from the Holy Spirit. When God shows up, that's what happens in our lives. And so Paul is saying that's us, that's you and me. We have unveiled faces. We have turned to the Jesus Christ. We have put our faith in Him, and we've experienced the freedom of the Lord. And then in verse 18, and this is where we really want to focus our time today. In verse 18, Paul writes this. He says, "And we all," and by all there, he means everyone who's put their faith in Jesus, everyone who's trusted in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, "and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." I mean, like, think about this verse. This verse says that you and I, if you are a Christian, if you are here today and you are a follower of Jesus, you can come before the presence of the Lord. You can contemplate the glory of God. You can experience the glory of God. You can think upon the goodness and the holiness and the greatness of God. And as you contemplate the Lord, as you meditate on the Lord, the Spirit comes into your life and He transforms you and He changes you and He brings you to ever-increasing glory and grows you up into maturity in Jesus Christ. That's what God wants to do in your life. That's what God wants to do in the life of every Christian. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that amazing? That this is what God wants to do in each and every life that turns to Jesus. And so I only have one question for you. My question is, if this is what God wants for every Christian, how come so many Christians don't experience it? How come so many Christians don't experience this kind of life? Because you might not be surprised by this. I talk to a lot of Christians. I talk to lots and lots of Christians, and maybe you do too, but many of them have not experienced this, or at least not regularly, over the long term. Why is that? Well, I think using our series, so many Christians don't take the stairs. They don't walk in the obedient life of following Jesus. I think a lot of Christians, they put their faith in Jesus for salvation, and then they're kind of like, yeah, I did that, I'm good. I got my get out of hell free card, you know? I took care of that. I know where I'm going when I die. And so, I'm just gonna hang out until then. You know, maybe they go to church, maybe they show up in life group here and there now and then, but nothing seems to really change. And if we don't do what it says there in verse 18, if we don't contemplate the Lord's glory, if we don't meditate and focus on God and really take advantage of being in his presence, then guess what? We're left with a weak Christianity. That's what I see in so many Christians, a weak Christianity. If you have a weak Christianity, a weak faith, it means that you think wrongly, that you don't understand God's word, you don't know how to apply it to your life, you don't know how to combat all the bad false ideas that our culture throws at you all the time. If you have a weak Christianity, it probably means that you still struggle with a lot of sins and you act selfishly, and it means that you are stuck in immaturity. I think so many Christians are stuck in immaturity. I want you to know this is not what Jesus wants for you. This is not what Jesus wants for your life. What Jesus wants for you, what every pastor at Centerpoint wants for you, what I hope you want for yourself is to grow up into maturity in Christ. What we just read there, 2 Corinthians 3:18, ever-increasing glory, that is for every follower of Jesus. It's not just for some pastors. It's not just for some people who are really committed and are in Dream Team t-shirts and Kids Church t-shirts or anything like that. Though, bless all of you. It is for all of us in Christ. It's for all of us. So let's take hold of it. How do we do that? How do we do that? How do we take hold of this kind of life that Jesus offers us? Two big things. The first that I see in verse 18 is that you need to prioritize your inner life. If you want to experience all that Jesus has for you, if you want to experience maturity in Christ, prioritize your inner life. We spend a lot of time worrying about the physical body, right? We spend a lot of time worrying about our physical selves, you know? So what do? You know, maybe you watch what you eat, right? You watch what you eat. I gotta admit, I'm a little nervous for myself right now because we're wrapping up 21 days of fasting and prayer, right? And so I don't know what your fasting plan has been. Everyone's a little different, you know, but there are some things that I've been fasting for 21 days, and I am nervous. 8 a.m. tomorrow, I'm just going to, like, take down a dozen chocolate donuts. Like, I got some real fear at this point that that's what's going to happen, you know? But, so be careful. I guess that's just, this is nothing to the sermon, just be careful tomorrow, all right, when you break the fast, you know, pace yourself. But we watch what we eat. Maybe you take care of yourself, you exercise, you go to the gym, you run, you get on the exercise bike, you go to the doctor. I was thinking about this last week, you know, through like my 20s and 30s, I was just super blessed. I was super healthy. I rarely got sick. Like, I rarely got sick in my 20s and 30s, and I did not watch what I ate. I didn't really worry about, you know, am I exercising enough? I just kind of did what I want exercise-wise. If I wanted to play basketball, I played basketball. I didn't worry that I was going to blow out both my ACLs, which is now my concern whenever I step on the court with my kids, you know? I rarely went to the doctor. And then I entered my 40s, and everything changed, okay? Everything changed. All of you in your 30s, guess what you have to look forward to? Everything started to change, and I was like, I got to start paying more attention to all that. But we spend a lot of time worrying about our outer selves, but what about our inner lives? By your inner life, what I mean is what the Bible calls your heart. The real you. The place of your deepest beliefs, your deepest desires, your values, the part of you that makes decisions and controls the rest of you, the stuff, the 90% that's under the water. That's what the Bible calls your inner life. And that's the part of your life that God wants to shape and God wants to change and God wants to transform. I love the words of Ephesians 3:16. In Ephesians 3:16, Paul prays, I pray that out of his, and the his is God, I pray that out of God's glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. This is what God wants to do in your life. God wants to strengthen you with Holy Spirit power in your inner being. Do you want to be strengthened with Holy Spirit power? Let me ask that again. Do you want to be strengthened with Holy Spirit power? All right. Well, good news. God wants to do that too. In fact, God wants to do that in you more than you even want that, because God knows what's best for you. And so God wants to come inside of you and strengthen your inner being through the power of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? It doesn't matter what your physical body's like. In 2 Corinthians 4, God says your physical body could waste away. You could be sick and dying, and God can still renew your inward person day by day. And so God wants to work on your inner life. What about you? Do you want to work on your inner life? You ready to prioritize your inner life? I think if we really understood how important the inner life was or is, we would prioritize it more. I think it's kind of a question of value. If we really understood how important the inner life is, how much it controlled so much of our emotions and our actions and our behaviors and our thought life, we would spend a lot more time on it. If we saw how valuable our inner life is, it would be a lot easier to turn off Netflix and spend time with Jesus. If we understood the power of our inner life, it would be so much easier to just say, you know, I'm not gonna waste my time on things that don't matter. I'm gonna go and get alone with God and hear his voice and let him speak to me. But we gotta do that. We have to value that. We have to see the power of the inner life. In order to receive this from God, we gotta play our part. We gotta take the stairs. And that's why in verse 16, it says that we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory. This gets at the role that you and I have to play if we want to prioritize our inner lives. We've got to contemplate the glory of the Lord. That word contemplate is a fascinating word. I've been wrestling with it for a couple weeks now. And the word contemplate literally means to behold as in a mirror. And so the idea is that you are looking at the glory of God, and you are looking at the glory of God as though the glory of God is coming at you reflected in a mirror. It's shining out at you, and that the glory of God, you need to think about it and let it shape you and transform you, not just intellectually, but internally and behaviorally, and that's the biblical word of meditation. Now, when I say meditation, probably a lot of us think of like Eastern religions, right? You know, different Eastern philosophies, Eastern religions. But I want you to know that meditation is a biblical word. It's a biblical idea. And we need to learn how to meditate biblically. And to meditate biblically, you don't clear your mind and empty it of all thoughts and just sort of let the universe come at you or whatever it is you do in other types of meditation. To meditate the way the Bible commands is to focus on God and who he is and what he says in his word. And what it means for your life. And there's a lot of ways you can do that. I'm going to share with you how this works in my life. How this works in my life is I'll be reading the Bible, and every once in a while when I'm reading the Bible, a verse will jump out at me. And it doesn't happen every day, it doesn't happen every week, but every so often God gives me a Bible verse and he wants me to hang on to that verse for a few weeks or even a couple months. I'll just be reading the Bible, and a verse will jump out at me. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will right away apply it to my life. And I'll be like, oh, I need to hear this. I need to think about this. Or sometimes there'll just be something about the nature of that verse. It'll just stick out at me, and it'll just strike me in a unique way. Right now, that verse for me is Matthew 5:9. Matthew 5:9, Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." That's the verse a couple months ago that I was just reading the book of Matthew, and God just, he just pulled that verse out. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. And so for a while now, every day, I've tried to pray, God, show me how I can be a peacemaker today. Lord, show me how, when conflict is around me, how can I be a peacemaker? I mentioned earlier, there are six of us in our house. We got four kids. My house is not always peaceful, okay? I'll just admit that to you. And I know, even in a pastor's house, it is not always peaceful, all right? And so when I'm with my kids and I walk in and they are screaming at each other, right? And you're like, is the house about to get torn down? Like, what is happening, you know? Like, are there holes in the wall? I'll walk in and as much as possible, I'll try to say, okay, God, how can I be a peacemaker in this situation? How can I bring peace in my house? How can I bring peace in my marriage? How can I bring peace at work? Because there's conflict all around us. Just open your eyes to it, students. At school, there's conflict constantly around you among your friends and things going on at school. How can you be a peacemaker? Because when you're a peacemaker, it shows that you're a child of God. Because being a peacemaker is close to the heart of God. And so we need to meditate on the Word of God. We need to contemplate. This is getting at what it means to contemplate the glory of God, to spend time reflecting on his word. A couple things that I think you and I need to do if we're really going to prioritize our inner life. And I'm not a legalist. I hate legalism. And so when it comes to this kind of thing about dealing with our soul and working with God in our soul, I don't want to be a legalist. But there's a couple of things I think each of us need to do. And the first is this. We need to set aside time for our inner lives. We need to set aside time to be in the presence of God. At any moment, you and I, we can be in the presence of God because God's everywhere. So it's not like you have. There's only one place that you can go to. Like you go to church and you're only there in the presence of God, or you know maybe there's a walk you like to take and there be in the presence of God. You can be in the presence of God anywhere, but there is certainly an experience that you and I can have as followers of Jesus where we can more powerfully experience God's presence. This morning, just a couple hours ago, in the 8 o'clock hour, I was in this room. It was pretty much empty, and I like to come in before the services start and pray over the seats. And God was just impressing upon my heart that so much about this is just being in God's presence. If you want this kind of life we're talking about, if you want this kind of life that we've talked about the last 4 weeks, you've got to be in the presence of God. You have to set aside time for God. And I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are like, Scott, I don't have any time. I don't have any time. And I get it. And I believe you. You don't have any time. But again, it's a question of value. I really think it's unlikely that you are going to experience all that God has for you unless you choose to set aside time to be in the presence of God and just hear from Jesus and let Jesus transform you and let Jesus shape you. And it's just a question about value. What really matters? What really matters is being formed and transformed by your Father in heaven. And so we need to set aside time to be in the presence of Jesus. We also need to, I believe, practice the spiritual disciplines. For 2,000 years, Christians have practiced spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines, and I know the word discipline, that's kind of a weird word because no one likes to be disciplined. we don't think of discipline as a positive thing, but here's the deal. Discipline with God leads to freedom. It's what is 2 Corinthians 3:17 says. It says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Yeah, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There's freedom. In discipline with the Lord, there is freedom. And so there are certain things that Christians do to grow closer to Jesus. Reading the Bible, that's one of the main ones. That's why we spent a whole Sunday talking about that last week. Prayer and fasting, that's why we're wrapping up our 21 days of prayer and fasting, why we've done this as a church together. It's been so fun as I've interacted with different people at Centerpoint, and we're like, hey, how's your fasting going? How's your prayer going? What's God showing you? I love that. I love doing it together. I hope it's not only been a rewarding time, but you're also asking God, okay, what are the next steps for me? What's the next steps after this time in my journey and not just a dozen 12 chocolate donuts, you know? But like, what's the next thing for you and Jesus? But there are a lot of spiritual disciplines, but there are three that I think that we could do to help us prioritize our inner lives. One is silence. Did you know that silence is a spiritual discipline? And you just did it, so it's not that hard, okay? So good job. Silence is a spiritual discipline, which I always think is funny because a big part of my job is talking. And so God's like, Scott, if you want to grow, at some point you got to stop talking, all right? You got to be quiet. You got to be silent. And for me, it's not only not talking, but it's also taking the headphones out and just letting there be silence around me so I can hear the Lord, the voice of God. Another spiritual discipline, solitude. Solitude. Just to get away. Get away from everyone. Get away from everything. If you can take a day to get away, that's awesome. Sometimes, most of the time, we can only take little spaces and stuff. But if your spiritual life is just like, hey, I got 8 minutes. That's all I got. I got 8 minutes to read the Bible and pray. You should do that. That's good. But you need to spend some more time other than just 8 minutes in solitude with God. I spend a lot of time in solitude with God on walks. Often it's just me and God. Sometimes it's me, God, and my dog. But other than that, that's it. And it's just solitude with Jesus. And journaling. Journaling's another discipline. To write down your thoughts and prayers and write down the impressions that God is putting into your mind and into your heart. But the only way we're going to ever do any of this is if we prioritize our inner life and set aside time and say, okay, God, I want to intentionally pursue you. One more big truth that I want to take away from verse 18, and here's where we're going to wrap up together today. And it's so clear in verse 18, and that's let God shape your inner life. You and I, we need to take the stairs, we need to prioritize our inner lives, but we're going to let God shape your inner life. Look at what the end of verse 18 says. Let's just look at it real quickly again. It says that we all, in Christ, we are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. It says that, I'm just going to spend a moment talking about grammar, and I know, don't throw any stones at me, okay? It's really fast. It's going to be painless. I know nobody likes to talk about grammar, but the Bible says there, look, it says we are being transformed. The Bible doesn't say you transform yourself. God doesn't say, come on, Scott, get with the program. Make yourself holy. Make yourself more like Jesus. Make yourself more compassionate, merciful, loving. No. God says to you and me, get out of the way and let me change you and let me transform you. Come alongside of what I'm doing in your life. That we are being transformed. We are made more and more like Jesus. That's what God wants to do in each and every one of our lives. That's the big picture, the big glorious picture here, is that you and I are being made more and more like Jesus. And the Bible describes it, and this is one of my favorite phrases in the Bible, that we receive ever-increasing glory. We receive ever-increasing glory. Literally, it says we go from glory to glory. And that doesn't mean that you go to glory, you die. That's not what it means. It means that in your life today, while you're here on earth, God takes you from one stage of glory to the next. Ever-increasing glory. Take the stairs. Grow deeper and further and closer to God. Now, I just want to warn you. I'll tell you how that looks in my life. I'll tell you how God does that in my life. Pretty much 100% of the time, whenever God takes me from one stage of glory to the next, it's a painful process. It's a hard process. Because for me and for so many Christians, before God can take me to the next level of maturity, God's got to break me. He's got to break me of some stuff. Sometimes it's sins that I still have in my heart. And I'm like, oh, no, God, I dealt with that sin. He's like, no, you haven't. And he flips on a light in a room in my soul. And I'm like, oh, there's the sin right there. And I got to deal with it. I got to repent of it. I got to bring it before the Lord. I got to receive forgiveness at the cross. And then it's time to move forward. Sometimes it's just bad attitudes, bad thinking, wrong values. Whatever it is, God often has to break us or shake us of something before we can move forward. But it's so worth it. Because you go from one glory to the next. Don't settle for weak Christianity. Don't settle for it. Don't settle for like, oh, well, you know, I believe in Jesus, and I've been a Christian a long time, and yeah, it's good enough. I got a Centerpoint t-shirt. I'm good, you know? I'm part of the team. That's not all that God wants for you and me. God wants us to go from glory to glory, being made into the image of Jesus. And I was trying to think about, you know, today we are wrapping up not just this message, but the whole series, Take the Stairs. And how when we walk away from this, how should we think about it? And as I was thinking about that this week, Pastor John reminded me of Psalm chapter 1. And in Psalm 1, we get such a beautiful picture of everything we've been talking about throughout this series. I want to read the words of Psalm 1 for you. It says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers." Do you want to prosper? Do you want to grow and flourish in Jesus? Take the stairs. Take the stairs. Because God's got so much for us, whether it's growing deeper in Him, whether it's the beautiful truths that He wants to open up in our word, in His Word to us, or whether it's simply the work of being a disciple of Jesus and making disciples. God wants to do so much more in your life. And I don't know what God wants to do in each and every one of your lives, but I do know this. I know that God wants to do more than you could ever hope for or imagine. Because that's what God promises in His Word. So don't settle. Don't give up. Take the stairs. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are such a good Father. God, you are a good, good Father. I just want to testify to that. I just want to worship you right now for being such a good Father. And as we sing so many Sundays, you have such good plans for us. Plans to prosper us and not to do us harm. And so, Lord, may we see what really matters. May we see what really has value in our lives. Would we be people who, with unveiled faces, enter into your presence to experience more of your glory? And God, may you transform us into the image of Christ, into ever-increasing glory through the work of your Spirit. And would you, and I just pray for every person here, every person who is facing spiritual plateau or even stuck in a spiritual decline, every person that feels like they're stuck in sinful habits, every person who feels like they're in a spiritual depression, God, I pray that you would strengthen them in their inner being with Holy Spirit power. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. God, we need that freedom. It's available to us in Jesus Christ. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged by today's message. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page and follow us on social media at CenterPointNY on Instagram and CenterPoint Church on Facebook. For more information and ways to connect, visit our website at cpchurch.com.